And we are live on The Lonely TARDIS, your journey into Time Lords and space. We are back. It's been over a year, year and a half, but Doctor Who is back, and therefore we are back. We being myself, Dolly Domofsky. Joining me to my left, your right, is the one, the only, the snazzy Markus Beer.
Go, Doctor. It's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your 60th anniversary birthday.
Woo! And that was the end of the episode. Didn't we know we were going to have a sing-along? Just kidding.
Yes, indeed. I am known as the 50 cent of Alta Vista.
50 pence. Only, 50
yes,
pence.
Indeed.
This person below us right there, the one, the only, Vishon the Norton.
Hello. Hi. Good to see you guys.
The feels bucket like of rampant gorgeousity.
The bucket like of gorgeousity, yes.
It's like a whole new era, right?
So it really is. Hello, gentlemen. It is so freaking awesome to see you guys.
Likewise, yeah. It's good to be here.
I've missed you bitches.
Oh, I've missed you too.
I mean, we do. I mean, look, we talk on text a lot or phone calls, but yeah, I've missed doing this, and I can think of no finer reason to get the gang back together to celebrate. Definitely. the triumphant return of three other legends of Doctor Who in David Tennant, Catherine Tate, and Russell Terrific Davis.
Yes. And that's exactly what we're going to be chatting about because the first of three specials. So first of all, before I get into that, we've missed a whole heck of a lot over the last year and a half. All the news broke. I think we covered when Shuri Gatwa was named Doctor Who. And then I think we actually did the episode after
the regeneration.
The regeneration. Yeah, we didn't touch anything since then. And there has been a lot of news. There's been a lot of fun stuff. But, I mean, I don't want to rehash a lot of it. It's just very exciting times in Doctor Who. We got three specials, and then the Christmas episode, because Christmas is back. And then we go into, at some point next year, we're going to be going into the 15th Doctor's official run. And apparently signed up for at least two seasons from what we were reading, right? So there's two seasons of that. So good times indeed.
When was the last time you guys were excited about Doctor Who?
Saturday morning.
Like genuinely.
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning, 10:25 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I mean, I've been ever since the announcements that, yeah. I mean, when we knew that Russell T. Davis was coming back, the regeneration from Jodie Whittaker into David Tennant.
Let me rephrase it a different way, Markus, because you know what I'm getting at. Prior to the announcement, there were multiple seasons of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And it felt like we would get less and less enthused about watching it and covering it.
Oh, before that. Before the dark times?
Before the dark
times. Probably the beginning Chibs? Of the dark times, right? Yeah. The Chibs era.
I mean, it was pre-Chibs, I think.
It was pre-Chibs.
I remember I was looking forward to the Capaldi's last Christmas special.
Same.
I was looking forward to it, but also a little bit trepidatious. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure about Jodie Whittaker coming in because, and not from a perspective of, patriarchy rules. But as I said before, growing up, the Doctor was the male role model in my life that I didn't mm-hmm. have. Because, you know, I my mum was a single mum and my biological father had fucked off a long time ago. Yes, I'm back to swearing. Thank you very much.
Yay! We are back.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's, you know, I was trying to be open about it. And I think we had a couple of episodes at the beginning with Jodie, which were excited and interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then things just, it became a
They chibnalled. They chibnalled.
Yeah, yeah. The Timeless Child or
my goodness.
I mean, it literally became the Endless Doctor. I mean, it was just impermanently timeless.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, David Tennant was just, you know, just found in the shower, soaping himself a la Dallas, and that's how old I am, folks. And
as old as the city of Dallas.
Everything before that is, I mean, come on, it's yeah. been. Russell T. Davis has said the nicest things about Chris Chibnall.
Yes,
but he's gone out with a fucking lump hammer to anything and everything that that Chibnall has put out there. So yes, that's the, for me, it was probably Capaldi's Last Christmas
episode. Okay. Okay. Yeah, what about you? Sean, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, we were excited and interested when Jodie was taking over. It was such a the potential was really unlimited in to tell mm-hmm. stories from a way that had never been told before. I think it was halfway through that first season that really started to drain out of us, or at least me. You know, we'd get things here and there, like Rosa Parks and some other stuff. But, you know, by the time that first season was over, I think we kind of knew without knowing. And then we'd go into the next season with her and like, oh, maybe it'll be better. Maybe it'll be tell more cohesive. Nope. And then you get to the Fox and everything else. And it's just like, it's mm-hmm. been years. It's been years. Like, I sat with my wife, and we were watching the 60th, and we were just so happy. We were beaming with smiles on our face, and we haven't been like that with Who since the end of Capaldi, like Marcus was saying. Like sitting on the couch and just, you know, tiny flaws here and there, notwithstanding, which everything will have, like, genuinely entertained, genuinely happy, you know, versus like, oh, man, what is this? What are they doing? It's just wonderful. We're back, and it feels mm-hmm. so good. It feels so good.
We're back.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
It's funny you say we're back, and it totally feels like it. Like, the last time, I think, Marcus, I'm with you. The last time I was this excited was the Capaldi era on that last season, because there were just some bangers coming out of that one, but. I watched the episode. I went into the episode this past week, the Star Beast, with minimal expectations. I thought, okay, Donna, the Doctor, I don't know what else. I don't know what else because, you know, not that I'm saying I've been let down or anything, but they hadn't actually released a lot about this Doctor's story, about what's happening. They just know, all we knew was somehow the Doctor's got his face back. And... by the end of the episode, let's walk right into it. By the end of the episode, I felt like 2008 Doctor Who, where Sean, we are so back. Marcus, it was the Capaldi era, and now we are so back to David Tennant, and this is the optimistic, fun Doctor Who that could get wacky at times, but had just terrific character development that I had been missing. This is the pop culture Doctor Who once again. And I think, to me, by the time I got done with the episode, I was in love with everything I saw. Not my favorite episode, but I truly felt like this really is the return to form of Doctor Who. The Star Beast.
It felt like seeing an old friend.
Yes, right.
Who did like when we get together? It was like being wrapped in like a warm nostalgia blanket.
Yes, yes.
But like there's tiny nuances there which we can talk about. But by and large, it's like they never left. Like the Dr. Donna for real. And everything. Like it was just. It felt so good.
It felt so good. It felt. Yeah, we picked up legitimately right where we left off with Donna and David's doctors. And it was just a wonderful feeling to see, oh, wait, you know, things have changed. Like, you know, things have changed. And there were specific dynamics that the Doctor wasn't quite ready for throughout this because he kept asking questions. He's like, where's this? Where's that? And I thought that was terrific. Marcus, you're going to say something.
I was going to say, sorry, the way I prepped for this was I actually rewatched the Donna Noble season, but I started with The Runaway Bride.
Okay.
And I wanted to watch that because I knew that we were getting a Donna that is that's kind of nearer to the Runaway Bride Donna, because she had that entire season of amazing experiences and that character grew in front of our eyes. And I'm so glad I did that because it just reminded me, you know, she gets a lot of stick, does Catherine Tate. Some of her stuff doesn't hit the mark, you know, in some of the things she does. But she really is, I mean, she is absolutely 1,000% my favorite component of and, I mean, she's ahead of my second favorite's Bill Potts. Those are my top two. And it goes back to one reason. Neither of them are romantically interested in the Doctor. And so just rewatching her season and just watching this character grow and grow. And then that gut punch at the end where he takes away the memories.
Yeah.
Spike's barking next to me. He's
You know what I love? There were so many themes and elements to this that I really enjoyed. And I think so the Doctor comes back to Donna. He doesn't know why, but for some reason it called his face back to be with her. And there was a sense of we left things at the end of the Donna seasons, right? There was like we left something and the Doctor had a big hole in his heart. He saw Donna go off and be happy, but then he had this big giant void, like the Void or whatever the last season was, who I don't even care anymore. That was hurting him. And so he gets pulled back to Donna and he's had all these experiences, but now she has this void in her heart. And one thing that I liked about that, and I don't know if anybody's picked up on this yet, but there's like this parallels to dementia in that you have these memories, they shape you, but suddenly those memories are taken away and you don't know why you got to where you are, but you know, certain things fire in the background. And I see that in Donna, in that the whole aspect of her giving away her lottery winnings, she wins 122 million pounds or whatever that was,
and gives it all away.
I'm sorry, 166, and gives it away.
Triple rollover.
Yeah, because she doesn't, you know, when they finally ask her why, it's because she said, well, it's, you know, or said it's because of him, because that's what he would do. She didn't know who it was because there's the hole in her heart and so in her memory. So I thought that aspect was great. I thought there was just, you know, that whole effect on Donna, I thought was, you know, and the Doctor getting blindsided that, hey, everything, him leaving her without those memories actually wasn't that great for her.
I think they could have renamed this trilogy of specials, or just given the overarching title of Doctor Who Unfinished Business.
It was
unfinished business, and we know it's unfinished all the way through. But this was such a strong start, and Russell T. Davis has come out and has said, "Well, you know what we can expect. This one is more fun, more joyous, a little more silly." The next one gets a little bit darker, and the last one giggle is supposed to be full hiding behind the sofa time. I mean, it's finally great to be back and be a Hoovie, but we should probably crack on with the episode, didn't we?
So quick brief synopsis. Doctor shows up in London. Was it London? I don't know where Donna lives.
Camden. It was you actually see in the background the famous bridge for Camden Lock.
Okay.
Because Camden, world famous market, and has a canal going all the way through it.
London, he shows the rest of us.
For the rest of us.
It's north, it's sort of like North London. But yes, I mean, people who live in Camden will say, oh, it's, you know, it's not really London, it's Camden. Yeah. It's the borough of Camden.
He arrives. He actually bumps into Donna and her daughter almost immediately and realizes, oh crap, I shouldn't be near you. Thankfully, she doesn't remember who I am. And then it unfolds along the way where there are some people that do recognize the Doctor and they're kind of mad at him either mad at him for coming back, like Donna's mom, or excited, like the folks in, was it Unit and then other places. There's a, is it Beep the Meep or Meep the Beep? I can't remember what
Beep the, it's Beep the Beep Meep. The Meep. Apparently Beep is a term to show that he's the exalted high Meep.
Beep of That's Meeps.
Right. Yes. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Crash lands on Earth and is being chased by these insectoid creatures. One thing leads to another. A doctor tries to save Beep, and we come to find out, hey, guess what? Beep is actually the evil one in the process as the last of her kind.
Biatch the Meep.
Biatch the Meep. Bleep the Meep, to be honest. By the way, somebody did a... Who is the voice actress for Beep?
Miriam Margulies.
Yes. Somebody took her... Fantastic. Some of her quotes and lines from other productions that she's been in and superimposed it over Beep. In a video, and it was just her swearing and Beep swearing nonsense. It was fantastic.
To link that. That sounds great.
I'll send it over to you guys. They shoot off the Beep into space, and everything's good. Doctor says, no, you shouldn't come with me. Okay, fine, you can come with me. One quick, we're just gonna go off and see Wilf, and then Donna, of course, in Donna's way, spills coffee on the TARDIS control console, and off we go.
Which, by the way, I rewatched the episode again today. Like, I couldn't figure out what she was doing. Like, it wasn't like an exaggerated, like, huzzah.
Yeah,
it was just like, oh man, imagine if something. Oh no, look what it is. Like,
it's pure Donna, isn't it?
It's pure Donna. She's like, God. Hey guys, how would be, which is, I will say, that is something I've done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have done that a few times, spilled water that way.
But no, there's a lot more in there too. I mean, it's you've got the return of Unit. We've got a new, what I assume is going to be a new recurring face. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the character's name in the wheelchair. She was awesome.
Shirley.
Shirley. Weapons in her wheelchair. You've Where got the return of. They all do, apparently. Yeah. The return of Donna's family. Yeah. New husband.
Donna's mom. The backlash.
Rose. A lot to potentially talk about with her daughter and the way that was approached in that character. The destruction and then undestruction of all the main streets of Camden and London, which was quite a visual feast for the eyes.
There was some serious Disney money spent.
I was going to say, there's the Disney money right there. Money
spent the mouse's pockets are deep. And Russell T went, all right, give me, I'm fucking spending it all. Disney Amex card, I've got points for the store now.
It's funny because... Yeah. The plot was, it didn't feel like anything was Disney-fied, I guess, except for a little bit of an injection in money. And by the way, seeing it on Disney Plus in the US was just, that to me was just a wild, I had to go to Disney Plus to watch
simulcast. Simulcast.
Yes.
Like we can watch it. I didn't have to wait for like.
On the dock.
Yep.
Do you remember how bad it was? Remember when it was
horrible
when it was when the reboot first started on Sci-Fi, where we had to wait 3 months for them to actually air the Eccleston ones? I mean, that's how far we've come, and I've got to say kudos to Disney Plus. Before we go into let's give it up to them. They had this beautiful graphic that's been up for the last couple of days,
that intro sequence
showing the trailer, as Sean said, at 10:30 on the dot, the graphic changed. So I had the page up and I was pacing. I was like, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up. Because I've been burnt by American networks before. NBC in particular couldn't start anything on time to save their lives. But it's boom, it was up. Boom, I was watching it. It looked gorgeous. I mean,
it did.
A 4K OLED TV. And Disney Plus was broadcasting it in all its majesty. The surround sound was popping. Perfect. I mean, a much higher resolution than we get with AMC or BBC America. So it looked cinematic. It looked vibrant. The intro where we have the Doctor and the Donna giving their overviews, which felt smart and actually felt kind of seamless in that it brought everybody up to speed, but also for new viewers around the world. And I'm not just talking about the US, new viewers around the world, because the other thing I noticed, I watched the credits all the way to the end, and I saw every country that they
loved it.
And to do that and to get it out there, I mean, Disney Plus is taking Doctor Who worldwide, which can only be good for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got to, you know, they've got to paying for it. They know that people are going to tune in. They know that people are going to subscribe. And that money was back there on the screen. As long as they keep their filthy mouse mittens out of the plot, they can start doing merch. In fact, it would be really good if somebody decided to produce more 14th Doctor freaking sonic screwdrivers, because they're sold out everywhere.
Yeah, this is the only sonic screwdriver that I have, so I'll have to get the.
Well, I mean, whoever made the decision to.
By the way, did you like the new ability that the screwdriver had to make walls out of nowhere and make screens?
Yes, that was the touchscreen and the bulletproof walls and.
The Sonics evolved. I mean, it goes to show how much it's evolved in the last 10 years. Because if you remember John Hurt as the War Doctor, he said it's a scientific instrument, not a water pistol.
Yeah.
and that was 10 years ago when we had Tennant and Matt Smith, God, you know,
10 years
extending and waving around their Sonics like crazy. I think I'm glad it's got an upgrade. So we obviously didn't see the transition from Jodie's to David's new one, but it's been in Doctor Who magazine. They dropped a comic book, a cartoon, a comic that actually talked about the, what happened, how he managed to break it. Mm-hmm. He broke Jodie's and he got the new one. And then it is canon. They've said that from the get-go. And then there was another canon piece dropped a week last Friday for Children in Need in the UK, which is which we've all seen, which was on the YouTube channel, which was a 7 or 8 minute special with the Doctor going back to the pre-genesis of the Daleks, if you will, and inadvertently giving them Dalek Exterminate and the Plunger.
And the Plunger.
And obviously, what we're doing, I don't want to divert from the Star Beast, but I do want to say the fact that we're seeing Davros, and Russell T. Davis has said Davros is, we will see him moving forward out of the support unit.
Yeah.
We will see him less makeup. We will see him walking around, which I think is really fantastic and a brave choice. I mean, obviously, if Chris Chibnall had decided to do that 2 years ago, I'd have called it a fucking diabolical disgrace. But Russell T has built up enough credibility in the bank to be able to say whatever he wants. But I just thought that was really interesting as well and bodes well for the future. But I thought it was just a lovely touch, and it's just to see David Tennant bounce around, come out of that TARDIS and just give the guy a plunger was just fantastic. So on to the Star Beast. Now,
it was a busy hour for him. Didn't he say in that special that an hour ago he was a Scottish woman or something? So in that hour, it sounds like he's hopping around, he's breaking the Sonic, he's making a new Sonic.
Well, no, I don't think he said it was an hour ago. I think he's waiting for the Sonic, psychic paper to catch up. Where he was the grand.
No, two different things. No, in the special, he mentions it to the.
In the Children Need Special.
The security grunt. Yeah.
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 The psychic paper was a hilarious little gag, though.
That was great.
That was fun. Yeah.
But I mean, that was the thing. It had the whole episode had these callbacks. So Donna repacking the boxes, and it's almost like pantomime. There's a rocket landing behind her. And she's like, and off she goes. It was good to see, obviously, her husband get some airtime because, we hadn't seen much of him.
And he was great, by the way, Uber driver. And that was fantastic.
Taxi driver. He's a taxi driver. Yeah.
Black Uber cab,
and that's where the Grandmaster of the Knowledge came from. to drive a black cab in London, you have to pass this test, which is called the knowledge. And it's basically you memorize every bloody street. It's no Google Maps. There's no MapQuest or, you know, whatever. You literally have to know every single route. So that was that thing in there. And I thought that, you know, again, everything was just ticking the box. I will say the talk of Wilf at the end.
Yeah.
Got me a little because we did lose Werner Cribbins.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and the doctor bringing it up.
Werner Cribbins filmed scenes for the specials.
Yeah.
So we may see him in the next special because I don't know if they were planned in this one and were cut, but we will see Werner Cribbins because he's in the cast list as appearing. So that's going to be fantastic because, you know, he had been such a trooper. He was such an incredible part of Donna's run. And he was also such an incredible part of the Peter Cushing to Doctor Who movies, Doctor Who and the Daleks and Dalek Invasion of Earth. He was just he's been such a vibrant part of the Whoverse and such a beloved entertainer in the UK. I mean, his loss last year was huge. But I'm so glad that, you know, we will get to see him. So, I mean, I don't know how you want to, if you've got a set list or anything for how we want to go.
No, I just wanted to just kind of shoot from the hip, just like the doctor did. I mean, I want to jump in and say, I think the actress's name, Yasmin Finney, Yasmin Finney?
Rose.
Rose did just a phenomenal job. I think she stood up to the task and succeeded in the homework of what needed to happen. And, you know, that the backstory of her character as, you know, as Donna and what's Donna? Paul? I forget his name. Whatever. Donna's husband. As their child. And what everything that they went through her life, I think was great. Like the boys kind of calling her dead name, you know, or to tease her, and then at the end the story arc the way that she was able to get out, help the doctor kind of solve this incredible problem, I thought was just fantastic. The whole binary thing I thought was terrific, and Donna being able to get the doctor out of her, you know, I thought it was just so well put together and really enjoyable from plot standpoint. And it did wrap like really great bow on Donna's family. And I thought that was great.
I would agree with you. I mean, I'll agree and disagree.
Sure.
So what I'm going to agree with is I thought that the story and the way, Rose's story was told and how, especially at the end, she became an integral part of the Whoverse, or the Hooniverse, as they are now calling it.
That's right.
Yeah, you get to see this logo now on the new the new version of Doctor Who Confidential, which actually comes up and it goes Hooniverse. So there's shit coming. We know that. So yes, I loved the way they did it. I loved the way Donna spoke to her mum about, you know, the dead name and everything else and what you can and can't say. Because as an old person myself, I am always very aware of this, and I don't want to offend. I don't want to dead name someone, and I do want to be supportive. I want to be an ally. And this provided almost an instruction book, which I thought was great. And then that denouement at the end where Donna and Rose are talking about, you know, and it goes from binary to non-binary. I thought that was so terrifically done.
Yeah.
I will say, with all due respect to Miss Yasmin Finney, I don't think she's the best actress.
I think she was great in the role, though. I think what she had to accomplish.
With regards to the way that character, you know, she performed in that character, maybe she was up against way more seasoned pros.
Sure,
I've not seen her in anything else.
Yep.
But I felt performance-wise, she was the weakest link.
Okay.
And it's nothing to do with her being a trans person. It's only to do with the fact that I felt she was not quite as strong. And, you know, maybe it's her age, but Catherine Tate was on form. David Tennant was on hold, but they've had these characters for years.
Sure.
And that is, I need to give her some slack on that, but yeah. I don't think she was, you know, I found it amusing that Donna did say about the school play and Rosie.
Yes. And yeah.
I just thought that was like, ooh, a little close to the knuckle there. But I've got to say, I love the way they handled it. I love that, you know, I mean, Shauna was watching it with me. And when that scene was unfolding at the end, I looked over at her and she was crying.
Aww.
Because it was so beautiful. And she said, that's the best thing that I've seen with regards to handling how to be a trans parent, a trans ally, to help people understand. Mm-hmm. And I totally agree. And, you know, inevitably on Sunday, there were a bunch of pissed off people about, oh, woke Doctor Who, woke BBC, woke Russell T. Davis. And to them, I will cheerfully say, fuck off. Because science fiction is all about inclusion.
Yeah.
It's about progression and us moving forward as a species. Star Wars is progressive. Star Trek is progressive. Doctor Who is progressive. Sci-fi in general is. And if you can't handle that, go back to your Bible, you wankers. And so I've said that now.
Sean.
Sean, I'm sorry. I've been sitting on that rant for a couple of days. I'm not on Twitter anymore, so I can't share that.
And so no one is on Twitter.
No one should be on Twitter anymore.
No one is.
No.
I'm on Threads.
There you go.
Threads rules. But yes.
Is that the new Twitter? Is that the Facebook Twitter?
Something. Who knows?
What's the successful one? There's one that's like successful.
Blue Sky is getting there.
Blue Sky is the one that's struggling out the gate, right?
Yeah.
Threads is the one.
Yowza's the one
I signed up
winning.
And then I never did.
Oh, yeah, I'm on Yowza too. Yowza's gonna be awesome because it's Cards Against Humanity, people. So, please, Sean, I've said my bit. Your turn,
yes.
I keep looking at the episode title and it keeps reminding me of the Matt Smith episode with the space whale at the Beast Below or whatever. I can't get it out of my head, it's driving me crazy.
This one was way better than that one,
yeah. Yeah, but that one had one of my favorite early Matt Smith's moments where he was just like, I'm done. Okay. I'm taking Amy home and like humanity sucks, whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I miss him. He was great. I didn't notice until you said it, the difference in the acting ability.
Mm-hmm.
But now reflecting on it a little bit, yes, it is a little bit stiffer, a little bit. Yeah, I see it because I think, like you had said, the contrast there is it's just hard to go up against these people who did this together for years and have been such successful, you know, professionals for years after that. I thought she was fine. There's an interesting... So we're jumping around. I know we're jumping to like the very end of the episode. I've been watching this debate online, not just from the you know, crawl out of the hole and they're going to be outraged about everything all the time, people who would have never watched the show anyway, but now it's just like, Doctor Who's so woke and it's all politics and identity. No. Like he said, fuck off. But there's an interesting thing going on about just how heavy-handed and like that third act speech was with Donna and Rose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, and this, again, I felt... I can't comment on this because I can't relate to it, so I can only comment it from how I felt as a viewer with the story being told. It felt very on the nose, right? Like, I felt like the whole episode was handling all of that brilliantly with the identity and the pronouns and everything, and and then there was this big speech at the end, and they make a joke about the doctor being a man, not understanding, which is interesting because, like, outwardly, yes, a man, but like the show has always handled the doctor as sort of like a gender fluid, non identifying the way humans do kind of thing. And also, an hour ago, he was a Scottish lady, so and then just like, you won't get it because you're a man, we can just let it go, and then poof, like, gone, like, all the crisis energies is we just let it go. Like, there's the story they're telling there. It's fine, and you can even say, like, Donna's making one of her silly jokes, and it's just making fun of the Tennant or whatever, but, like, I don't know. It didn't land for me completely. I felt like it was just a little too much. Like, just a little too over-explained, like I said, on the nose. And I'm debating with myself, and I've been watching people talk about this too, whether or not it cheapens a little bit of the end of the original Don arc, the mm-hmm. tragic, like, if you remember me, yeah. you will die. Like, that is it. Like, your brain will burn up and you'll die. And now all this time later, like, he revisits her, he saves her, that's wonderful. But the whole, like, the solution to that is just like, oh, well, turns out I'm going to keep everything I remember and my brain, but now, poof, I just choose to let the energy go. As opposed to, like, they had this thing going on where she had her daughter and it splits the Metacrisis energy and it delays mm-hmm. the issue. And, like, they, I don't know. It was so close. Like, I feel like it was so close. And if I had to just nitpick anything about the episode that bothered me, it was that bit of time where it's leading up to all these consequences. We think we're going to lose Donna. We don't lose Donna. That's amazing. The Metacrisis sure. gets explained. She has her daughter. But then it goes into the binary, non-binary, and then it's just like, we're women, so there it goes. We're just letting the energy go. And I just don't think he nailed that. I know what he was going for, and I appreciate it. And I don't care that it's, like, controversial or not. That's not my bag. I don't agree with that. It's that's always going to happen with the show and Russell T. Davies. He's kind of always skirted that line, which I've always respected. But as a strictly plot, storytelling, Doctor Who narrative device, it didn't work for me. But everything else did. So it's a tiny little thing in, like, the grand scheme of overall an episode that I love and I'm just so happy to have again. But again, I hesitate to even bring it up because I don't want it to be something where I'm commenting on, like, binary, non-binary, trans, whatever. That's not mm-hmm. it. It's literally just all of the story that had led up to this, you know?
You bring up a valid point, and when I rewatched it today, I think I got, you know, I mean, on the second watch, I think I got a bit more of the nuance. I think with that final scene where they were separated by the glass, that was a good touch, a good callback to when Wilf.
Yeah, Wilf, his outburst, know, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give me chills.
But I actually think the way that it came across, and like I said, again, the weak link was perhaps Yasmin Finney. Through perhaps no fault of her own. But I thought the one, this is, you know, Donna explaining this, it's the Dr. Donna. She's been restored. She's got all this knowledge back. And she's got this Metacrisis energy still in her, but the knowledge and everything. But I also think it was a very funny fuck you to everybody who ragged on Jodie Whittaker for 4 years. I mean, thankfully, we didn't rag on Jodie Whittaker. We were 100% supportive. The problem with Jodie's tenure, as we've said before, is Chris fucking Chibnall. And I think this is Russell T. dropping this line, this little section, and Donna, Donna Noble delivering it as, and going back to what I said, where I'd watched the Runaway Bride and then watched her series, her season. That was the Donna who was at the end of whatever it was. I can't even remember the title of that final episode, from her initial run. But it was her. There was the smarts. There was the confidence back. And it wasn't unfounded confidence. The unfounded confidence that was eggshell thin in the I'm the best temp in Chiswick, 100 words a minute. But I'm really insecure underneath. This was Donna with some of the Doctor's confidence,
right?
Or the Time Lord confidence. And that's when she delivered that line. And then that whole, if you were still a woman, you'd be able to just shake it off. And it literally a case of, if you know, you were, you know, the Doctor's a woman for 4 years, and they had to shake off every piece of bullshit that Jodie Whittaker had to put up with. And so for that, I it's a very Welsh thing to do from Russell T, by the way. You know, it's like, boom, I've delivered this. And, oh, by the way, I've got a sonic knife here. I'm going to stick it in. I'm going to twist it. I'm going to twist it. I'm going to twist it. And screw you haters. So, yeah, but I do get where you're coming from. But for me, it was so good.
Yeah, so and good. I think just to – sorry, Dolly, I know you're overdue. Yep.
Nope, that's fine.
I think just put a bow on this particular part for now. excuse me. I guess what I was expecting maybe was, like, it felt like it was leading up to this moment where mm-hmm. we know from 10 that he could not let go. He didn't want to regenerate. He was right. egotistical in his own, you know, big-hearted way and everything like that. And I just felt like that was so, like, it was so clear. Mm. Like, hey, you could never do this before, and now you can. Like, you have to, it's okay. Like, you've lived for hundreds of years, three incarnations, a woman. It's okay. Now you understand what we do, and then they let it go. I mean, there's, you know, because the radiation stuff, whatever. Like, I mean, even going back to Martha Jones, the very first episode, he absorbs a ton of it from an MRI machine or whatever and kicks it into a shoe, right? So there's yeah. precedent there for that. I just don't think the way it worked landed. And I just, if they had tied it back to that, I think I would appreciate it more from a storytelling perspective, as opposed to like another, like, you know, you're a man and blah, blah, blah. But to Marcus's point, absolutely. Like the also the subtext there that could be about the Jodi run and what they have to deal with on this show and what mm-hmm. these women in general have to deal with. That totally works too. And, yeah. and again, I think it's a mileage may vary situation. Yeah. So.
If you remember, and obviously we'll hand off to Dali in a second, who's bursting with stuff. If you remember the Donna Noble episode, The Unicorn and the Wasp, where the doctor is poisoned and he manages to expel the poison. So, I mean, obviously we know that that's in his system. But I do think that, yeah, you're right there. And again, is that the doctor's grown after, and it's, you think about it, how many millions of years was the doctor in Capaldi's thing?
Billions. Wasn't it like billions 2 billion?
Or trapped in the confession.
And he remembers that, right?
Did they remembers every single, yeah.
He remembers
it? Yeah, he does. Oh, he remembers it. So this is, I mean, that's the whole bigger thing. But Dali, please.
No. I mean, I'm fine.
This is going to be a 12-hour episode, by the way.
No.
So much to talk
about. 11 o'clock on the East Coast here. This is going to be just a couple more minutes. No, I am.
We could do a two-parter.
We're gonna have the next episode next week. I'm just so happy to have silly fun Doctor Who back with fun little, you know, it was just a fun story. It had all the telltales of the 2000. I mean, kudos to Russell T. It had all the telltale of those the 2005, 2008, 2009 era that felt so good and felt like the stories had fun weight to them, but they weren't. There's nothing like gigantic and otherworldly, gigantic and all encompassing about this story, you know, with Chibnall. Right away, like it seemed like every episode that we saw was leading. What's the big lead up to at the end of the universe? Like it was always about the end of the universe. Here it was just, hey, it's a one-off story. And if you knew anything about the Doctor before then, you'll like it even more. But I really enjoyed that aspect for this. I think this is a great one to. This is a great episode to get old fans excited about Doctor Who again and. New fans on Disney Plus watching Doctor Who for the very first time have watched this episode now and said, oh, this was pretty fun. I think it was cool. Oh, wait, I didn't realize that there was, that there was a whole backstory with this Donna character. And I've heard about David Tennant as a doctor. So I think it was a great first episode in sort of this brand new Who era going forward. I will say, really, the only thing that I didn't like about this was that the intro where they kind of sat down and did the recap, I thought it felt a little like green screen-ish, like the doctor standing there and then recapping everything.
They've never done that before, have they?
No, they haven't. I really felt like they could have done it.
They did.
I like Donna's side. I like Donna's side because it felt... Smith?
On BBC America, they had Karen Gillan narrating.
They narrated the opening
sequence. And this was obviously a Disney Plus thing to say to the rest of the world, this is what this is. And I've got no problem with it because I don't think we'll see it again. So it was a one-off. It was, it was the 60th and it's back. But I understand people being a little bit.
Yeah, it was a little bit. Because... I would have liked to see it as part of the, because I like Donna's portion because Donna's portion almost felt like a little bit of a, like UNIT was interviewing her. Type of thing where I could have seen the same thing with Dr. where Unit was interviewing him and kind of giving him the, you know, he's kind of telling his side of the story that way. But, you know, that was really the only downer, not even a downer. That was just like, didn't do anything for me. Yeah. It didn't work for me.
Sorry.
But in general, it's all good. But in general, it was just a fun episode. I rarely will rewatch. I've mentioned in the past, rarely will I rewatch Doctor Who episodes so soon after they air. I think it's it only happened like a couple times in the Capaldi era. I think I rewatched the that real famous or the, you know, the one Whitaker episode, the civil rights one, and I've rewatched several Matt Smith episodes only because that was the first Doctor that I saw live on TV. Otherwise, I was just rewatching Doctor Who on Netflix with the Tenant Doctor. But I loved it. I'm so excited for next week, and I think we're gonna have just a wonderful experience for these next three episodes, these next couple episodes, and yeah, I'm excited going forward.
Now, I know you boys want to go off to your bed and I want to go off and eat my supper, but I will say,
hey, I'm not in no rush. I got hours to go, Marcus.
I ain't got any of that.
Well, let me just say, I think you also hit the nail on the head in comparing Tribunal to Russell T. Russell T. Davis is known as somebody who can write intimate dramas. This was cozy. This was intimate. This was cozy, what we call a kitchen sink. This harked back to the days of Rose Tyler and Jackie. And, you know, that family, that's what he did. He brought it back in because it just got too big, too loose with no control. And it felt sprawling. It felt like a bowl of spaghetti with all the different strings. Mm-hmm. He brought it in. He tightened it up. He had the focus. Yep. And I think that's what we're going to see moving forward. And to see that, I'm really looking forward to seeing that with Shuti. I really am.
Me too.
So I love that aspect.
Yep.
I love the upgraded budget, love the Sonic. I actually could have seen this go to perhaps 90 minutes because it would have been great to see more people get sucked in by Meep, it as in the comic book. And obviously we've got to give a shout out to Dave Gibbons as one of the co-creators the Star Beast back in 1980 in Doctor Who magazine or Doctor
and the episode this is sort of an adaptation of that episode of
and they were you know both co-creators were credited, and I forget the other person's name, but the new TARDIS
let's try about talking about that.
God, I hope he didn't see it until he filmed it. God, I hope that was a genuine reaction.
I think actually it is somewhat of a genuine reaction because Russell T. Davis has shared this anecdote that it was David Tennant's idea to run around when he sees the new TARDIS. He said, which was a brilliant idea, but then David regretted it on the take because he was just running. That's why he's so freaking skinny.
Yeah.
But that is a physical set. I mean, the runaround showed how much of a physical set it is with the lights and everything. It'll be interesting to see how much of it survives Donna's coffee. if it's going to be more of a burnt white as of next week. But I thought it looked fantastic. I thought the new Sonic was great. I thought the return of Unit and a new face was wonderful.
Great.
And we got a Kate name drop too. And we know she'll be back.
Well, we know she's back. We know she's back. I'm not sure if it's next week or the week after. I love the fact.
What the hell's going on next week?
Yeah.
We have 2 weeks, two more weeks.
Love it.
David Tennant and Donna Noble. And I don't know, you know, if we'll see much more of her family. And there is so much ahead of us. Who is the Meeps boss? Is it the Celestial Toymaker, the Neil Patrick Harris character?
Yeah, I think it is because they've been,
Well, I mean, there's I've been reading a little bit online and people have been saying that or suggesting that we actually will not see the big boss until next season, and that they've recast the Master, and the Master is now going to be back to be Lady Master or Mistress. We'll see. We'll see. But I got to say, it's a banging start. Took me back, as you know, as Dali said, to peak Who. And it did have some Russell T. Davis flaws. Mm-hmm. Did perhaps, a little bit was, you know, a little bit wishy-washy in sections, but it was...
sorry.
What the... That was Tom... Why was Tom Cruise straddling Sean's head?
I was looking for this... Doc in a box and hit the wrong button.
I don't like it.
All right, I am so kind of terrified as to see what else is going to be popping up. But yes, I am so glad it's back. I'm so glad I get to talk to you lads about this. We are going to have to record pretty quickly again next week.
Definitely.
I'm just really and I'm also really, really happy that it's made in Wales. Again, I mean, you could feel. I mean, look.
You pointed again, to the flag. You had
that's
to...
Scotland, right? That's Scotland across the bay.
Yeah.
No. We're
Scotland,
the ones
France.
We're
Scotland,
the ones
France.
With the dragon on the flag, my friend. no, I mean, obviously, no, you know, the ones before the, you know, the Jody ones were based around Sheffield, and you know, they kind of took it away from London, and I think. It was the worst for that. No offense to Sheffield, but when it was filmed in Wales, you know, when everything was almost everything was filmed in Wales through Russell T. Davis's and Moffat's tenure, it just felt it had this tightness, it had this intimacy, and I know we had externals in Camden Lock, but I could tell which streets in Cardiff were being used. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of that moving forward because, BBC Wales brought Doctor Who back. And we found out, they have figured out that's been worth about £2 million a year into the local economy in around South Wales since Doctor Who returned, which is great for an area that £2
million. Wow.
Yeah. Is it
B, like billion?
I mean, Doctor, and I know we're off on tangents again, but. When Doctor Who was, brought to Wales, then they brought another show called Casualty, moved that over from Bristol. Mm. And then they made this, I think it was the show Da Vinci, Da Vinci or shit, I don't know, Spartacus or something. They did the Merlin reboot. I think that was there. But they've started to do so much more in Wales and it's had a knock-on effect. And Bad Wolf, obviously, are produced. Bad Wolf Studios are now, which is Julie Tranter and Julie Gardner, who were involved from the beginning on the reboot. They're involved with this and they're producing it for BBC, funded by Disney Plus, and Sony own a big part of them as well now. So this money is going back into the creative process in South Wales, and it's so lovely to see so much of this. And I will say my final sort of like wrap, and I can give it no higher compliment, but my mum would have loved this. She passed in August, and she was looking forward to David coming back, and she would have loved that episode. And we'd have talked on Saturday evening, her time. But a little story, and I don't mean to drag on, but 2 weeks ago, a week last Saturday, Shona and I went shopping. We went, dropped into Hallmark store to see if a decoration we'd ordered had come in. And it hadn't, but they had this TARDIS on the back counter.
Oh, cool.
What's that? Is it a Christmas decoration? And it's not. It's a...
Look at that.
Yeah, you got it.
And so this is the thing. I thought it was a Christmas thing, but it's not. So
yeah.
Oh wow, look at that.
Things to do, places to go.
So
cool.
This is the thing. I thought when I got it home, I thought, oh, it's gonna be David Tennant or Matt Smith or Capaldi or whoever. It's the first Doctor I saw with my mom. It is Tom Baker.
How cool.
And it was almost as if my mom said, you go in there and you see that because it's the only one they had.
Wow.
And we got it. And I know it's really strange and kind of sappy, but I miss her so much. And she would have, like I said, she would have loved the episode. And I cannot give the show any higher praise than that.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit weepy again.
No.
I know we all lose family members and stuff, and
There's some sweetness in Doctor Who, and it's so great to have that back. It's so great to be excited about week to week Doctor Who. You guys got mad at me because I was watching football when Doctor Who was on. The text that I was getting from these two gentlemen as I'm watching my Michigan Wolverines play a very crucial football game to watch Doctor Who was the amount of swearing. I had to hide my phone from my nephews, not this coming week. I will be watching. And
did your nephews have your phone?
Yeah, I should just watch on my phone. That's right.
No, why did your nephews have your phone?
Because someone needs to play Roblox or whatever kids play these days. I don't know.
No. Have a watch party on Saturday morning.
Oh yeah. Watch party.
Maybe a little
Saturday afternoon three-way. For us on the Best Coast, brother.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah.
Hey,
we'll figure it
no,
out.
No, not at all. If you think about it, I get to watch it at 10:30 in the morning, and then I get to bounce around all day, happy as fuck.
Yeah, but you're in your jammies watching it.
I was in my jammies. I was just in my Doctor Who dressing gown. Thank you.
Love it. My robe.
My Cyberman Dalek.
Well, I'm about to get into my jammies. It's bedtime.
Are you going to turn the stream off first?
I probably should. But
okay. Make sure your nephews aren't watching.
I want to thank everybody for joining us who's watching. We did have quite a few live watchers, even though we kind of announced this one a little bit late. We'll have this podcast go up for download shortly. But you can find us at LonelyTardis.com. I think, yes, you still can. Yeah. On our Facebook page, YouTube page, and everywhere else that you consume Lonely TARDIS. You can find us individually all over the place. Sean gave you his tag there.
Yeah, it's Legacy. I didn't even type that in. I just logged into this app for the first time in like a year and a half, but it was like, boop.
That's perfect.
Well, you got three more episodes from us this year. We're going to cover the next two specials, and we're going to cover the Christmas special because Doctor Who's back on Christmas Day, baby. I can't be bothered to put anything out on Christmas because I'm a lazy bastard called Chris Chibnall. None of this New Year's Day shit either. It is back. And it is going to happen on Christmas
And
Day.
It's wonderful because I get to kick family members out at 1:30, right before the show starts. It'll be great for me. That's their cue. They're not into watching the geek stuff, so they're all going to hightail it out and I can watch. We're going to wrap this episode by giving our ratings. Let's just do a...
And Dally froze.
Oh, man.
All right, so there you go.
That was the big finish. Look at that.
Yes.
Oh, that was a big finish, yeah.
Oh, wow, you totally froze, my friend.
No, you froze, dude. We have no idea what you were saying.
No, you better not. No, I wasn't saying anything. Don't worry. Nothing important. That was the cue. No, what I was saying was we're in this episode by giving our review, personal review. We're not going to do any numbered meeps of beeps or whatever, just... 5 words or so of your review of this episode, Marcus.
I'm going to give you 3. Out fucking standing.
Cool. That was actually 8. I'm going to give you 3 out fucking standing. So there you go. Sean?
What Marcus said.
I really fucking loved it. That's it. See you on the next episode of The Lonely TARDIS. Ready?
The new theme is a banger, by the way.
It really is.
Oh, God, yeah.
Much more to talk about.
Murray Gold is back in the house.